What's up, Angel?
Hey, how's it going?
Oh, it's going pretty good.
Oh, that's good. Good. Yeah, I just wanted to talk to you about a couple things.
Sure.
Because I know you believe in, I think last we talked to you, I was talking to somebody else, and I believe you also said you believe in this this common ancestor.
Yeah.
In evolution.
Well, Lucy wouldn't. Well, Lucy is a common ancestor of us and nothing that is still alive. Our immediate ancestor that wasn't us appears to have been Homo erectus.
So this common ancestor, because you know, I just read research on it that it's now the age has moved back between 7 to 9 million. Scientists don't know if it's 7 to 9 million years ago.
I've always heard seven.
But it gave you a range from a. Check out. Let me read this. Where did it go? Where did it go? Here it go. It's the latest research I was reading. This here to get you. Here it go. When they applied the new race to the history of all three species, they calculated that humans and chimps split earlier than expected, at least 7 to 8 million years ago, and possibly as early as 13 million years ago. They estimate the split between gorillas and the lineage leading to humans and chimpanzees between 8 to 19 million years ago. I mean, so you believe that, I mean, there was some hybrid animal, that some mixture of human. First, you got humans and chimps 7-8 million years ago, or maybe 13 million years ago. And then they got to go back to another between 8 to 19 million, because what happened is they came up with this gorilla DNA that threw everything for a loop. They little story for a loop. And now they have, let me just read you this one part. Although 70% of the human genome is indeed closer to chimpanzees on average, a sizable minority of 15% is in fact closer to gorillas. And another 15% is where the chimpanzees and gorillas are closest. So now they had to go back and have a quadruple common ancestor between gorillas, chimps, humans, and bonobos. I mean, it's like something out of Aesop's fable. Like there's some sort of hybrid common ancestor. The
common ancestor wouldn't have been a hybrid.
This centaur.
This centaur
common ancestor. I mean, what is it? What? I mean, I'm looking for somebody to tell me. I'm getting all these wild guesstimates. 7 to 9 years. 8 to 19 years. 13 years, possibly. All these guesstimates. I mean, what?
Yeah, that's what you have to do. That's what you have to do before you have the evidence.
What is this hybrid animal? Is it from Middle Earth?
No, it would have lived in Africa. So, whatever the common,
I'm gonna ask you.
Okay, whatever the common ancestor between humans and chimps is, it definitely wouldn't have been a human chimp hybrid, because it existed between 7 and who knows, 10, 11 million years ago or whatever. Humans, Homo sapiens, have only existed for a few hundred thousand years. So it's not like the common ancestor split and immediately became chimps and immediately became humans. There were tons of other hominids and whatever between that common ancestor and us. There were the Ardipithecines, there were the Australopithecines, and then there was the Homo habilis, Homo erectus, and you know, whatever else.
Yeah. It was the hobbits.
Hobbits?
The centaurs.
There aren't any centaurs. Nobody believes in centaurs.
All these hybrid animals and all these, nowhere to be found. It boggles.
But there are tons of hybrid animals that exist.
What is the
There
rationale
aren't
behind
a
that?
huge number of hybrid animals, but there are tons of hybrid plants. Hybridization is really common in the plant world.
Tell me, what is the rationale behind a common ancestor? I'm kind of curious.
The morphological similarities between us and chimpanzees and the genetic similarities, the
But I'm saying, what is
overwhelming
the ra
genetic similarities.
I'm saying, well, what is the rationale? I mean, why is it included into, why do you need a common ancestor? Why do you need this hybrid? I mean, is it something that's necessary? I mean, where did it come from? Who came up
Well,
with the idea?
organisms come from their parents, and their parents come from the generation before that, and they come from the generation before that. So, like, yeah, that I mean, that's how it works. But it's not like a like evolution isn't a purely philosophical, logical argument. Like, a lot of arguments from God aren't empirical or scientific. They're just like a logical necessity, like the first mover or whatever. But that's not what evolution is, because that's not what science is.
I mean, it just sound like is this like a bunch of wild guesstimates about
they're not wild guesstimates. Like way before we unlocked the secrets of genetics, scientists already knew that, or let's say predicted that humans and chimps were the closest living relatives to each other. And then gorillas a little bit less so, and orangutans a little bit less so. And then the genetic evidence perfectly bore that out.
But what I'm telling you is there's no need for these Middle Earth creatures, these common ancestors that nobody has ever seen. No, it just gives you, all they do
if
is
organisms
give you
change over time, there have to be common ancestors.
No, it doesn't, because what you have here, let me tell you a simpler story that makes more sense to me, that bears out about what we see in the and you don't need all these centaurs and satyrs.
Nobody believe. Don't straw man the theory of evolution by saying centaurs. Nobody, no evolutionary biologist believes in centaurs.
Here's a more simple explanation.
All right, go
they
for
have
it.
36 phylum, 36 body plans.
36 body plans.
Phylum, 36 phylums. You know, chordate.
Oh, okay.
Phylums, yeah. That's the body plan that came around the Cambrian explosion. In the Cambrian time, that period, these body plans came up. It's called phylum, and it's 36 of them. 36 phylum. And so if you have the genetic code, which I think is highly intelligently designed, you have a genetic code acting on 36 phylum, you can have variations of all of these body plans to give you all these variations of species. For instance, I write computer programs.
That's evolution.
I write a computer program. If I write a computer program that says, and I put in, say, 30 different house blueprints, like a cottage, a colonial, a ranch, and the computer program, because it's intelligently designed, can give you variations of all these different blueprints and give you a whole bunch of different blueprints for houses. And I don't need any hybrid animal from Atlantis to come up with a theory. All I need
no,
is intelligent.
Nobody.
All
I don't is, believe in Atlantis. Why?
All I need is an intelligently designed code. You get all these estimates, 8 to 20 years. 7 to 9 years, some hybrid. Yeah. Well, where is it? Let me see it. Oh, we don't know what it is, but it exists. Well,
we haven't found it yet. We didn't. Yeah, we didn't know. We didn't have Lucy either until 1923 or whatever that was.
We don't know, but maybe. Listen, the game you could play with the genetic code, because it's so much information. I can look in the genetic code, for instance, and you could take an intelligent person, look at the genetic code, and say, okay. These set of genes, they closely match these other set of genes that's for growth of human being growth, for the size of a human being, but they're not being expressed right now. But what if years ago, when they were expressed, they turned creatures, we had giants because of this lengthening in the gene. It was expressed. So let's look at mutation rates and calculate when we might have had giants on Earth. And then you say, well, oh, between 40 and 50 years ago, because if this genes was expressed, the mutation rates tells us that we could have giants on Earth.
I've never heard a scientist say that, ever.
Where is this in the fossil record? Well, it's not in the fossil. We don't have any evidence of it. But 40 to 50
What scientist says that there are giants?
This could have happened.
I've never heard a scientist say there are giants. However, Bible thumpers who insist that the Nephilim existed say that.
I'm not saying there's giants. All I'm saying is
neither do evolutionary biologists.
All I'm saying is that you could come up with any sort of ridiculous guesstimate by looking at the genome. You could say some hybrid.
No, you can't.
From the line of witch and the wardrobe. You could say Mr. Tumnus lived 7 to 9 years ago. And somehow,
Angel, I agree. If you're not being logical or scientific, you can take information and make it mean whatever you want it to mean. Which, for example, to me is how people interpret the Bible and say that it proves scientific things. And I don't think that's even remotely true.
I think the Bible does, actually. I don't want to talk about that right now.
What I want to talk about is, to me, it sounds like you agree. So you're way different than most of the religious thinkers I talk to, because you agree that the universe is billions of years old and Earth is billions of years old.
Yes.
But it sounds to me like you believe that there was this Cambrian period, which was a little over half a billion years ago. Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me like you think evolution does happen, because a very long time ago, there weren't any humans, obviously. There weren't even any dinosaurs or butterflies or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But there were all those phyla, the body plants from that long ago. Mm-hmm. So then how did the organisms of today get here? Because I would say we're the descendants of those different organisms from the past, so we must have evolved. So it sounds like you believe in evolution, but you think there's an intelligent designer behind it. So yeah. is that I don't want to mischaracterize you, so I'm asking, is that like what you think?
Yeah, it's an intelligent designer behind it, and basically what I think.
Okay, well, then that means that humans evolved.
I don't have any problem with evolution. It just didn't happen naturally. It shows that.
Okay,
let me make this point real quick. It shows that it comes from an intelligently designed code where you have coded, like I said, you have information coded on the sequence of DNA that's code for, say, valine or these 20 amino acids. And we have no explanation from anyone that supports the natural interpretation of why valine is encoded for four codons,
right.
Four different codons, three-letter codons, and why is that redundancy in the genetic code or proofreading or any of these other things? There's no how did it get encoded with information in the first place? Let me make this last point.
All right.
Let me make this last point. I think that what evolution explains, what Darwin saw, was just the result of the code. But then he came up with this whole theory, and he said, if you don't find, but was shocked when he didn't see all these intermediate varieties that he was looking for. We still haven't found all of these intermediate varieties. But that blows up not transitional fossils, intermediate varieties. It blows up his entire
That's what that is.
It blows, and it's what, you know who Alfred Russel Wallace was?
Yeah.
So you agree that he's just as important as Darwin?
I don't know. Darwin's been more influential. Darwin was way more prolific. Like, he published far more books and things like that than Alfred Russel Wallace. Russel Wallace didn't believe in sexual selection, I don't believe. But he had his own. He had a couple of unique ideas of his own. I can't remember any of them off the top of my head. But Darwin's been far more impactful and influential. But we would have gotten basically the same theory if Darwin never existed, because Wallace came up with pretty much the same idea.
Yeah, exactly. He actually influenced Charles Darwin to write The Origin of Species, some of his early work. So he came up independently with natural selection, evolution. But you know why? You know about Alfred Russel Wallace, but most people don't. most people I talk to about evolution, I say Alpha Russell Wallace. I get who? Reason why you don't hear much about Alpha Russell Wallace is he was a spiritualist who thought that, said that it just couldn't explain things like higher forms of consciousness. And an intervening spirit had to intervene at least three times. And the Bible talks about creation three times in the first verse, 21 and the 27th verse. But Alpha, the reason why you don't hear about Alpha Russell Wallace, but the reason he's been stricken from the record, and if you don't dig and look for him, you won't find him, is because he didn't agree with Darwin on certain things. But they wanted to give you a narrative that Darwin, he came out with his whole theory blows up when you look at what he said about intermediate varieties and
you look at tons of those.
His whole theory blows up.
No, it doesn't. We have tons of intermediate varieties.
No, you don't. You have some transitional fossils, which you don't have.
That's what an intermediate variety is.
What Darwin was talking about when he talked about intermediate varieties, he was talking about in terms of adaption, because he compared artificial selection to natural selection. So he said, well, naturals, the same thing that artificial selection does, which selects the traits, can be done by artificial selection, but it's going to be nature where the traits come from.
Yeah, I know.
But Darwin thought that, hold on, but Darwin thought that when you, for instance, when you have the main wolf, when he evolved.
Angel, we're talking about transitional fossils.
No, we're talking about intermediate varieties. You want to see different intermediate varieties. Like the main wolf evolved these dark, long legs. You should see dark, long legs, short legs. Three legs, blue legs. You should see all these in it because it's natural.
No, you shouldn't.
Nobody's selecting the traits. So that's why you should see these intermediate varieties.
Not like that. That's ridiculous.
That was Darwin's whole theory is ridiculous.
No, it wasn't. Exactly. Darwin never said if there are animals with black legs, there should also be animals with blue legs and red legs and yellow legs and green legs. That is not at all a good reading of the theory.
You agree with me then that Darwin's theory is ridiculous.
No, it isn't.
Exactly what
I just explained how your characterization of it was ridiculous. I want to talk about something, or I just want to bring something up, which is connected to what I was asking you earlier. So I'm like, I'm actually super confused because earlier when you were saying, where's the chimp human hybrid? Where's the common ancestor? Blah, blah, blah. You said that you agree that evolution happens, but you're asking these questions as if it doesn't happen and there's no such thing as a transitional species. So I don't understand how you can believe in both of those things at the same time. I don't see how you can think, yes, millions of years ago, there were different species, and over time, and those are our ancestors, therefore species do change over time, but there's an intelligent designer behind it. And at the same time, there's no such thing as a transitional species fossil. We don't have any. Where's the one for humans? It doesn't exist. It's like you're saying, I don't get that.
It's non-existent. But what I'm saying is
you have an intellectual schism here, I think.
No, not at all. But because what I'm saying is you have an intelligently designed code. You have an intelligently designed code in the genome has information encoded. We had a Harvard scientist encode 70 billion books on the DNA. Digital. Yeah. We have digital. We had a, hold on, let me finish.
I'm not asking you about DNA. We can do this with two very simple questions. Only two questions. Do you think humans evolved?
Yeah.
Then why are you going to all these lengths to be like, where are the transitional fossils? Where's the blah, 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 blah? Because when you do that, it's as if you're insinuating we didn't evolve.
But like I said, I think there's an intelligent design interpretation of evolution, and a natural interpretation of evolution. It's like you got different interpretations of quantum mechanics. And I think an intelligent design interpretation of evolution is 110% superior. I think a natural interpretation of evolution gives you these hybrid animals, gives you a bunch of nonsense. It just can't happen. It's illogical. So I think I look at evolution. See, the difference is most people, when they come to these debates, they're debating usually creation versus evolution, because evolutionists want to act like evolution means natural, but it doesn't. I think intelligent design explains it. An intelligent design interpretation of evolution is far superior than a natural interpretation. I think natural interpretation of evolution doesn't explain the evidence in any way, shape, or form.
That's fine. I mean, I knew that you thought that, but I'm asking mm-hmm. you why you're pressing me for how come there's no transition? How come we haven't found the missing link between humans and chimps? When you agree that we did evolve, you're saying the things that people who think the Earth is only a couple mm-hmm. thousand years old and no organism has ever evolved says, mm-hmm. but you claim, like,
I'm asking
it doesn't
you
make
things,
any
though.
Sense. That's the schism I'm talking about.
I'm asking you these things because you accept the natural interpretation of evolution. Unless I'm wrong, you think it occurred naturally, correct?
Yeah, but we both agree that humans evolved somehow.
Yeah, but I don't
so I don't know why you're asking me for evidence would support your claim too, but you're acting like this is a gotcha against me, the naturalist.
I just don't think we need a hybrid animals that guesstimate saying they may have existed 7 to 10 million years ago or 8 to 19 million years ago. I don't think we need a guesstimate that we have some sort of hybrids that nobody knows or nobody has seen.
They wouldn't have been hybrids. No, I don't know why you're saying that.
But it makes no sense to me that you need all them hybrids.
They're not hybrids.
Did you see the recent study with lizards that happened on the island?
Where their guts changed?
Where their guts was changed.
Yeah, they didn't hybridize.
The lizards rapidly evolved.
Yeah.
The changes should have taken place millions of years ago. This is from National Geographic. The changes should take millions of years, but these creatures are doing it in mere decades.
Because there's a lot of pressure.
That doesn't prove intelligent design naturally.
It did happen naturally. They evolved naturally. Their genes changed naturally.
This is from National Geographic telling you.
Yes, I know. I've read that article.
Taken millions of years, but these creatures are doing it in mere decades. They're doing it in mere decades because of intelligent design.
No, they're doing it in mere decades because they're evolving quickly because there's enormous selective pressure to evolve. Like, when environments are stable, then there's no reason for an organism to change. And so the rate at which they change into different forms is very slow. But these lizards didn't change into a different form. They just they developed valves in their gut to better be able to ferment because they eat more plants, I think. I've read that article. That is 7 years worth of National Geographic's. I've read this thing you're talking about.
And it supports intelligent design because it happened quickly because all you need is a variation of the phylum. We're in the chordate phylum. All you need is a variation from random genetic changes. But listen, all you need is the code acting on the phylum to give you quick that to adapt fast. You don't need some sort of random blind adaption with random mutations. How can you have?
But that's how it happens.
Mutations? It makes no sense. National Geographic is refuting you.
National Geographic isn't saying God showered his love beams onto the DNA and that's specifically why the DNA changed. No, we know that DNA, like, there are copying errors, there are just random mutations that happen, and they have unpredictable manifestations. Some of them happen to be beneficial, and then that's what drives further change to occur. I mean, the changes in genetics that have happened to those lizards, there's no arguing that it wasn't naturalistically.
It is. It happened because of the code. The code is intelligently designed.
Okay, the code Again, you agree that evolution happens. You just say that a very long time ago, an intelligent designer set up the code, but then the code goes about changing by naturalistic mechanisms.
No, the code is designed to adapt to its environment down to extremophiles. And what you see in the record And what you see throughout the fossil record,
okay.
you see when an organism needs X to survive, when it needs X to survive, it evolves X. There is no intermediate varieties of Darwin trying not to evolve. Darwin said there's no purpose and no direction to evolution. So there should be there's no direction of these random mutations. So you should get all of these different traits evolving, and just the one that happens to be best for the environment ends up surviving, spreading throughout the population via reproduction. But you don't see all of these traits. Yeah. You see the exact trait the species need to evolve. That's intelligent design. That's exactly
no, what they don't. No, all the other variations die.
The changes should
or just become more rare.
But these creatures
you've taken the conclusion and then just stated that happened on purpose or something. So, anyways, I just want to ask a question. Mm-hmm. Let's say that God makes a rock appear in his hand. That's mm-hmm. him. I wouldn't call that intelligent design, but it's a miracle, right? And God did it, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And then God puts the rock on the ground and it rolls down a hill. Mm-hmm. Now, is the rock rolling down the hill a miracle?
Yeah, the rock rolling down the hill is a miracle. Everything,
but
that,
it's rolling down the hill because of gravity.
No, but again, everything that happens comes from God.
Everything. Right, but so nothing has ever naturally occurred. Well, then you have to say that nothing has ever naturally occurred.
No, we could talk about gravity if you want to go back.
I don't want to drift away from the subject here.
Oh, we could talk.
You have to say that nothing natural has ever occurred. If that's your position,
no, and you know why?
Well, if that's your position, then okay. I just wanted to try to understand it.
Yeah, we could look at Gödel's theorem, which illustrates this perfectly. You know what Gödel's first and second incompleteness
theorem? The incompleteness theorem, or what?
It's first and second.
I don't know what those are. I don't really, well, whatever. Go ahead.
Now, Gödel's incompleteness theorems really blow things out of the water.
For evolution?
Stephen Hawking wrote a paper. He had a lecture, rather. And Hawking had a lecture called Gödel and the End of Physics. And the end of physics. Why would an atheist who believes in a physical world talk about the end of physics in relationship to Gödel?
I don't know what he meant by that, or if that's actually what he said, so I don't know.
When you talk about Einstein, he had a book with Einstein called When Einstein Walked with Gödel. And Roger Penrose also talked. And look, if you want to go there, I could talk about explain Gödel. What Gödel actually said is in his incompleteness theorems. If you want to switch that topic,
not really.
Okay, or maybe I'll just come back another time and go over that.
That's cool. That I mean, you'd be way better off talking to a mathematician or a physicist about Gödel, because I'm not. I'm just gonna sit here and be like, okay. So it's not my area really. There was one other guy I wanted to try to talk to real quick, though, so I can't be on live.
Okay, well, definitely. Well, like I said, it's always good talking to you.
And yeah, for sure.
Like I said, remember that it's intelligent design interpretation of evolution is far superior to a natural interpretation of evolution is a fantasy that belongs to Middle Earth.
Okay, and centaurs.
Have a good night.
And centaurs.
Have a good one.